You're listening to the Accidental Creative Podcast. Since 2005, we've delivered weekly tips to help you be prolific, brilliant, and healthy. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. This episode is sponsored in part by Wix. Building a successful business online can be challenging. You can build your website exactly the way you want with thousands of design features that have been created with your needs in mind. So head over to Wix.com, that's W-I-X.com, and join millions of people growing their business online today. This episode is also brought to you by Everyday Brilliance, which is our free 12-week course. Absolutely free. It'll walk you through the practices that you need to implement to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy in life and in work. Just visit accidentalcreative.com to sign up. Okay, if I were to ask you, what is the number one thing that stands in the way of you getting your work done? Or what is the number one thing that stands in the way of you doing things to the level of quality that you'd like? I guarantee you one of your top answers, if not your absolute top answer, would be, I just don't have time, right? I hear this. I hear this all the time. I know that's a little bit of a sort of a thing people say. I hear it all the time. I do. I hear it all the time. When I'm spending time with organizations, I'm spending time with teams, the number one frustration is I just don't have time. But is that really true? I mean, in reality, we all have the same amount of time. We all have 168 hours a week. So it's not the sheer amount of time. It's maybe the way that we think about our time. And frankly, it's the way that organizations approach time that often causes us to feel like everyone else has more time than we do. Organizations organize. That's what they do. So an organization is wired to try to squeeze as much efficiency as possible out of a process. And organizations are great at that, right? That's what keeps the paychecks coming. We love that. We love it when the paycheck comes predictably every couple of weeks. But the problem is when you try to organize, let's say, the creative process, according to some of those efficiency principles that organizations are really good at, instead of increasing your capacity to do more work, all you do is make the work that you do of less quality, right? Because there is a quality quantity component to creative work. And simply aiming for efficiency does not guarantee that you're going to deliver equivalent results on the other side to what you would have delivered had you had more time, more space. And also, by the way, I want to be really clear about this. Just creating more time for work doesn't mean it's going to be better work either. Sometimes you can do better work in less time because the boundaries and the focusing principles are there to help you get to the best results quicker. So it's not just a quantity of time thing, and it's not even necessarily just a quality of time thing. It's both. We have to reframe how we think about the use of our time. We have to align our time with our priorities. One method that is very effective in helping us do this, and this is something, by the way, I've been doing for years and years and years. I even actually created a sheet that I use, a physical planning sheet every day that allows me to time block, meaning I have blocks of time dedicated to doing specific kinds of work. I have a block of time dedicated to doing this podcast today. I'm doing it right now during the time when I have blocked off to do this. Why? Because my day is unpredictable, I'm sure, like your day. I can't always know exactly what's going to happen throughout the course of my day or throughout the course of my week, but I do have a certain number of important things that have to get done during the course of a week. I have client engagements, I have conversations, I have speeches that I'm doing, I have a book that I'm working on editing right now, I have podcasts to create, I have articles to write, I have other things I have to do that are part of the work that comprises this business that I function, that I operate. So I need to make certain that those tasks are going to get done, just like you, I'm certain, have tasks that need to get done that require creative problem solving, that aren't just, you know, lather, rinse, repeat, just mechanical cranking out widgets. No, these are things that require thought, preparation, strategy, intuition, all of these kinds of ineffable subjective qualities that can't easily be fit into an efficient organizational system. So when we try to organize the creative process, when we try to create a system that generates predictable output, what will happen over time is all of our work will succumb to systemic mediocrity because we're not allowing for the ebb and flow, the peak and trough of the creative process. So what I want to talk about today are three areas where we need to be blocking time consistently in our life, in our calendar, to ensure that A, the work that is important is getting done, of course, right? B, to make sure that we stay inspired and engaged in a way that is meaningful. And C, to make sure that we're working on the right things at the right time. So I'm going to talk about three time blocking strategies today. Now, why is time blocking an effective thing to do? When I say time blocking, by the way, what I mean is using your calendar as a planning tool, as a bulwark against uncertainty. When you block periods of time for certain tasks, certain kinds of work, you're doing a couple of things. Number one, you're ensuring that there's going to be time on the calendar to do those things, because if you're trying to do it in the cracks and crevices, there are always going to be any number of commitments to come up that prevent you from engaging with that work, right? Number two, you're relieving the uncertainty, the weight that comes with not knowing when your work is going to get done. Sometimes that weight of what's undone is worse than the actual work. Sometimes the psychological pressure of, I don't know when this is going to happen, I don't know how it's going to get done, is worse than actually doing the work. It's more oppressive. So when you time block, what you do, in essence, is you develop a plan that relieves that uncertainty, relieves that stress, because you know exactly when the work is going to get done. It's going to get done between 2 and 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. Okay, perfect. Now I can stop thinking about it until 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, right? So what you do when you time block is you relieve that pressure, but also you ensure that important priorities are reflected in your calendar, that you're spending your time in places that matter. You're not just spending your time ad hoc as things come across your field. There's a dynamic that I call the ping. The ping is this perpetual pinprick in my gut that says, you should go check your email right now, right? You should go check your Twitter feed. You know, you should go check your phone because maybe the president of the United States is calling you with a national security crisis. That's the level of urgency the ping delivers. And the ping has a life philosophy for you and for me. The life philosophy of the ping is something out there might be more important than what's in front of you. Something out there might be more important than what's in front of you. And it has us living in a state that researcher Linda Stone calls continuous partial attention. I'm always kind of here, but I'm kind of somewhere else at the same time. Do you think we do our best work that way? Of course not. Of course you don't do your best work that way when you're perpetually distracted, but we try really hard to do that. And this is what happens when we don't effectively time block. We're trying to do work while we're also distracted by the email that just came in from our manager, or by the phone call that just came in, or by the news article that just sent me an alert, right, to my laptop or to my iPad or whatever. We're living in a perpetually distracted way. And when that happens, we aren't able to access those deep connection problem-solving elements of our creative brain because we don't have the attentional bandwidth to be able to devote to those problems. So we're going to talk about three different areas where we need to time block. The first is we need to time block for our deep creative work. Time block for our deep creative work. Now, the first time I heard this phrase, deep work, was from Cal Newport, who's been on the show multiple times. I love Cal. Hi, Cal, if you're listening. Absolutely love Cal Newport. He coined this phrase, deep work, at least to the best of my knowledge, he coined it, to describe work that we do that is intense, that is focused, and that is designed around solving problems, right? Deep work is work that is allocated to your calendar, so you know exactly when it's going to happen. And it's the only thing that you are doing during that time block. And typically what I find is if I have a time block allocated, I want it to be about one project and one objective. So I am only working on one thing during that period of time. I'm not trying to do a bunch of different projects. I'm not writing a bunch of different articles. I'm not strategizing a bunch of different things. I am dedicating that block to one objective, one project, one problem that I'm trying to solve, okay? So I encourage you, first of all, to make a list of the important projects in your life that require deep creative thought. It could be a strategy you're developing for a client. It could be a product that you're developing for your organization. It could be a new system you're developing for your company. It could be a particular project that you're doing for a client, right? I don't know what it is, but make a list of these open loops, these things that you're working on right now, and dedicate time on your calendar to doing them. That's how simple it is, actually. You just dedicate time on your calendar. You block it off. You treat it like an appointment with yourself, and you don't let anyone encroach on it. I have time dedicated to doing this podcast and nothing else encroaches on it. It's blocked off on my calendar because I know it has to happen every single week, and it does because I have time blocked off for it. Again, it's important that you're working on one thing, one project, one objective when you're doing this. So put the title of that project or the problem you're solving as the title of that event on your calendar. This can be really helpful too, because it reminds you as you look over your week of when you're going to be working on those specific things. I encourage you to do a pre and a post assessment during these time blocks, meaning before you go into it, ask yourself, what will success look like for this time block? Okay, so how will I know this was a successful time block? And then the second thing you're going to do is a post-assessment, which is, did I accomplish what I intended to accomplish? And if not, then you need to put time on your calendar again for finishing the work, whatever that looks like. Okay, so do a pre-assessment, which is, what is my objective during this time? And a post-assessment, which is, how will I know I've succeeded in this deep work time? And then, and this is really important, this is a principle that I teach all the time to organizations. When you are doing deep creative work, I want you to end with the beginning in mind. No, not begin with the end in mind, because we've heard that a million times, Stephen Covey's phrase, right? No, end with the beginning in mind. What does this mean? It means never end your work without knowing exactly where you're going to pick it up the next time. Don't work yourself into exhaustion and then quit. Always at the end of every work session, ask yourself, what is the very next thing I'm going to do when I pick up this work again? That way, when you do pick up the work again, you'll have a starting point. Some of the most difficult and challenging elements of creative work is knowing where to start, right? It's getting traction at the beginning of the work. So end with the beginning in mind. At the end of your session, ask yourself, what will I do next? What will be the very next thing that I do when I pick up this work again? Okay, so that's the first time blocking strategy. You must have time for doing your deep creative work. Block off time on your calendar and title that time the project or the problem and protect it as if it's an appointment with your manager, right? Protect it as sacred time to do your deep work. All right, the second area where we need to have deep work time blocked off on our calendar is for study and reflection. Study and reflection. Steve Jobs once quipped that creativity is just connecting things. But in order to connect things, we need to have things to connect. We need to have dots to connect. Many of us go through our life indiscriminately absorbing stimulus. We just sort of, whatever comes across our field, we take it in. You know, we'll read tweets and comments on Instagram posts and whatever, but we're not taking the time to intentionally develop our mind, to fill our mind with valuable stimuli that could help us think differently about our work. So our inputs ultimately determine our output. If we don't have good inputs, eventually the well is going to run dry. So I encourage you to block time on your calendar for study and reflection, meaning absorbing the great thoughts of others, intentionally absorbing the great work of others, not meaninglessly and indiscriminately surfing the web. I mean intentionally absorbing work that you're thinking about, that's informing you in some way. So reading books is a great way to do this because it slows you down, it forces your attention on one topic at a time where you can really reflect on and think about what you're internalizing, what you're reading, right? So have time dedicated for study, but also for reflection, not just for absorbing, but also thinking about how does what I'm absorbing right now apply to the work I'm doing? How does it apply to the particular project that I'm working on right now? How does it apply to the strategy of my work overall? Take some time to reflect. Don't just absorb, but also reflect upon what that means for you and for your work. And then, you know, one great way to do this, and this is something I've done for years as well, is I'll block time off in the middle of my day to go for walks. And when I'm walking, I'll listen to an audiobook or I'll listen to a podcast, not just a podcast about something fun and entertaining, but I'll listen to a podcast that stretches my mind in some way. And again, this is just a great way to force me to think about different kinds of topics that I normally would think about in the course of my day. As a matter of fact, you should seek those divergent topics. Seek to absorb stimulus that comes from outside of your domain, because it'll force you to see things through different lenses that could help your creative process. Okay, so that's the second kind of time blocking I encourage you to implement in 2022, is study and reflection. Okay, so we have deep creative work is the first kind of time blocking. The second is study and reflection, not just study, but also reflection on what that means. You can journal, you can write, you can make lists, you can do whatever you want to do, but some kind of reflection. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the third kind of time blocking we need to do. And then we're going to bring all of this to a close, where I'm going to share a time blocking strategy for you and how to plan your week accordingly in 2022. This episode is also sponsored in part by the My First Million podcast. Listen, if you're the type of person who's always thinking about new business ideas or startup ideas, and you're always thinking about what's the next side hustle I could spin up, well, I've got a podcast for you. It's called My First Million. The two hosts, Sean Puri and Sam Parr, have both started and sold their own businesses to Amazon and HubSpot. And every week, they brainstorm business ideas that you can start tomorrow. These can be little side hustles that make you 10 grand a month, or big ideas that could be a billion-dollar thing. They also feature interviews with entrepreneurs like Andrew Wilkinson, Mark Lohr, Steph Smith, and many, many more. So, whether you want to explore making $10,000 a month via vending machines, or the best non-9-to-5 way to make money, or turning Michael Jordan's house into a museum, Sean and Sam have topics for you. You can search for My First Million wherever you listen to podcasts. This episode is also sponsored by Wix. Building a successful business online can be challenging, believe me, I know. From creating a standout online presence and building a marketing strategy to the technical side of running a business, it's a lot to manage, and that's exactly where Wix comes in. It offers a complete business solution with all the features you need to create, manage, and grow online. You can build your website exactly the way you want with thousands of design features that have been created with your needs in mind. Wix has strong infrastructure in place, providing you with reliable hosting and fast loading times. Meaning, as a user, you'll have faster performing websites for your customers anywhere in the world. And to top it all off, you get marketing and business tools built into your website dashboard, making it even easier for you to reach the right audiences. So head over to Wix.com, that's Wix.com, and join millions of people growing their business online today. Again, that is Wix.com. All right, let's talk about the third kind of time blocking that we need to do in 2022. And this is related to something I wrote about in my book, Die Empty. I talked about the three kinds of work that we do. We map, we make, and we mesh, right? We plan, we execute, and then we do all of the little things in the middle that keep us aligned, that keep us focused, that keep us energized, that ensure that we're doing the right things. It develops our skills, it develops our mind, right? So we talked about study and reflection. That's kind of a meshing type activity. We talked about deep creative work. That is a making activity. Now we're going to talk about the mapping activity. We need to have time allocated for strategy, for planning. So again, mapping, making, meshing. Making is deep creative work. Meshing is study and reflection. Mapping is strategy. Do you have time on your calendar for doing nothing but planning the work? Or do you plan when it's convenient? If you plan when it's convenient, your plan is going to lack substance. It's going to lack nuance. You're not going to be able to think strategically if you're trying to squeeze it into the gaps, into the cracks and crevices of your schedule. So you need to do a couple of things during your time block that is allocated to strategy. And by the way, I have two time blocks during my week that are allocated to strategy. When these time blocks arise, I do nothing but think about the work that needs to get done, plan for the work and how it's going to get done, and think about the overall strategy for the work that I'm doing right now, and make sure that my activities are aligned with meaningful outcomes. Okay. You can easily get caught in your work, get lost in your work, and your work can take on a life of its own. And soon you realize my activities every day aren't really aligned with meaningful outcomes. They're not driving me toward my overall objective. Okay, so during your strategy time, which by the way, I recommend you have at least one hour block a week of strategy planning time. Number one, you're going to plan for the work. This is a great time, by the way, for you to plan your calendar, to plan your deep work time throughout the course of your week, plan when you're going to be doing your study and your reflection and all of those things. Okay, so this can be part of that hour-long strategy time. But also, I encourage you to spend some time thinking about possibility, dwelling on possibility. What might I be able to do in the coming week, in the coming month, in the coming year, right? Dream just a little bit about what you might want to do with your work, where you might want to take your work over the coming season. You know, we get so lost in the weeds. We get so caught in the details of our work that we don't stop to think about possibility. Instead, we're dealing with pragmatism all day long. We're dealing with what is essential to get done and not necessarily what we might possibly be able to do if given a little bit of planning, a little bit of structure. Okay, so dream a bit during this strategy time and then recenter yourself in your productive passion. A great question to ask is, what outcome am I committed to during this season? And by the way, there can't be more than a couple of outcomes you're committed to during any particular season. If you try to do too many things, you're going to water down your efforts. You're going to accomplish none of them. But what outcome am I really trying to accomplish right now with my team, with my business, with my work, with my clients? What am I trying to do right now during this season? So spend your strategy time planning for the work, dreaming a little bit, and then recentering yourself in your productive passion or the outcome that you're committed to, that you're spending yourself on during this season. Okay. So I recommend, this is what I do. I recommend that you take a little bit of time on, now you can do it whenever you want, but I recommend you take some time on Sunday every week. I usually do this on Sunday morning because my family is usually sleeping. We have teenage kids. They're always sleeping, you know, on Sunday morning. It's a great time for me to get up with a cup of coffee and just to do some thinking about my week and do some planning for my week and ensure that I have time on the calendar in the coming week allocated to doing those important things. And I use my weekly plan sheet that I use, I've used for a very long time, that I print out for myself and I use every week to time block to establish objectives and tasks for the week and also to time block when those tasks are going to get done. So this can be as much time as you'd like. It usually takes me about 45 minutes on Sunday morning to plan my week. And then you know what? Then I forget about it. Then I don't think about it again until Monday morning. I do it. I relieve the stress of all the work that needs to get done because there's a plan for it. And then I move on with my day. So I encourage you to take some time every Sunday. Maybe Saturday works better for you. Maybe for some of you, it's the end of the day on Friday. You plan the following week. Whatever works for you is fine. For me, I just find that Sunday morning window is a good time for me early on Sunday morning because it gives me a chance to reflect on my week and think about my priorities and get things off to a good start. Okay, so those are the three time block strategies. Number one, you need time for deep creative work, which is your making work. Number two, you need time for study and reflection, which is meshing. That's the meshing work. And number three, you need time for strategy, which is your mapping work. Mapping, making, meshing. When we get all three of these right, when we do all three of these kinds of work, we are positioned to develop our circumstances into meaningful value for ourselves, for our organization, and for our clients. Okay? I hope this has been helpful to you. I know it's been a lot of fun for me to talk about and share some of these principles that have worked so well for me and for so many of the teams I lead. If you want me to spend some time with your organization, if that's something that is of interest to you, feel free to reach out. ToddHenry.com is where you can contact me for speaking and training and all of those things, or just visit AccidentalCreative.com if you want to learn more about our workshop services. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.